City Radio in your city.
Time, as we do every 4 weeks or so, to speak to Mark Anstead of the Cambridgeshire Wine School. Good to see you again, Mark.
Hey, good to be here.
We start off, actually, with sort of almost sort of gadget guide-esque, really, isn't it? Because you suggested that I looked up the Cambridgeshire Wine School on TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, well, there you are. That's good, and I guess to be expected. But then is the second part of that, in that you're ranked number one of 36 activities in Cambridge, and that's pretty good.
I'm really pleased, and it's all down to customers being really kind and leaving excellent rave reviews, because I think TripAdvisor ranks you on how many positive reviews you've got. So now there's 36 other Cambridge activities, and for a long, long time, we were just ranking somewhere down on that list. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, it took me by surprise, we shot right up to number one.
It's quite interesting, actually, just looking at the numbers of reviews which have happened. And I'll pull out a couple which they're highlighting here. Excellent. And somebody else has enjoyed a Saturday tasting, which took place as 13th. Oh, well, that will be just a couple of weeks back then, won't it, I think?
It's all quite February. A lot of it's very recent, yeah.
Yeah, and also that the second on the list is Cambridge Bike Tours. They got 46 reviews. And the third on the list is Footprint Tours, and they got 19 reviews. So presumably those positive reviews have is the key factor out of those 35 on there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm fortunate, really, because it's pretty hard to come to a wine tasting evening and not enjoy it. Most people enjoy it,
I guess, but you know, there's some nice places to go on a cycle ride as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm very pleased. I'm very grateful to everybody who's posted some great reviews.
Yeah, well done. Well deserved.
But look, we're also here to talk a little bit about Mother's Day, because we've got Mother's Day coming up.
It is. It's not this Sunday, in case anybody's fretting.
You've got some time, and I thought I'd give you a little bit of pre-warning. But, you know, sometimes I can bring in a few wines, because I might be able to bring in the dregs of what we've recently had at a tasting in the school. But today I didn't. What I did is I whipped past Noel Young Wines on the way in, looking for an affordable rosé, because if you're going to give your mum something on Mother's Day, then having it a sort of a pink colour, or this is quite a vibrant light red colour, actually. So that's something I think that a lot of mums appreciate. But we said the same thing on Valentine's Day, didn't we? But instead of a rosé champagne, let's make it a little bit more affordable. And here is a Spanish, and I think you pronounce it Borsao, or you might pronounce it Borsao. I don't know. And sometimes
both sound really plausible.
Yeah, sometimes I really struggle on how you should pronounce, you know, the names of wines.
The trick is to do it quickly, then nobody will notice if you get it wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm quite happy to say, hands up, I just don't know. But anyway, the thing is that this is only $5.99, and it's a really nice, characterful rosé for a $5.99. I'm not going to pretend it's the best rosé I've ever drunk, because, you know, you've got to spend quite a bit more money to get up to, you know, wines that taste incredibly good. But if you've got a budget, and the thing about that is you don't expect quite often that if you go to an independent wine merchant that you can find wines that are just as affordable as in the supermarkets, but you can. And if you walk into Noel Young's shops, he's got plenty of expensive wine, that's for sure, but he's equally got a good amount of affordable wine. In fact, Jamie at Noel Young said to me on the way in the $7.99 is probably the new $5.99, but this is $5.99. You know, and once the budget,
I think we were talking last time, weren't we, about the different price points which go onto things, and
yeah,
it's quite a jump. You know, you just spend an extra pound, and in return for that,
you get quite
a bit back again.
You do, but the budget is going to put pay to some of that, and I'm not so sure that $5.99 wines are going to be as easy to get hold of after the budget. We're going to have to see how much tax he puts on wine and alcohol in general, but. So anyway, later on we're going to talk about opening bottles with corkscrews, and this doesn't arise with this wine.
It's going to solve the problem, hasn't it?
It's a screw cap. But look, I've poured some for you, so
okay,
I'm going to pass
you
the
glass. Okay, thank
you
very much.
Now, what do you think about the colour, first of all, when it comes to rosé wines? That's pretty vibrant, isn't it?
That is very, it's sort of like an orangey, pinky, red, I would say. It's interesting, it looks a lot lighter, of course, in the glass, and particularly under the studio lights, than it does in the bottle.
It looks a bit deeper in the bottle.
Sort of not quite Ribena, but heading that direction in the bottle. But when it comes out, it's a much more livelier colour and vibrant, as you described it.
Okay, so...
So I do the sniffing routine at this point.
Why not? And then perhaps you can tell me, what do you think maybe the fruit that you're smelling is?
I think it's a berry involved, definitely.
Yep.
My hunch is raspberry, is that right?
I would have thought so.
Yeah, I'm getting good at this.
Raspberries are definitely a good sort of smell to detect in a rosé. So
I give it a sip.
Yeah, why not?
You're going to have a gulp down, really, don't you, rather than a bit more than just a gentle sip.
Don't take too small an amount. Absolutely, I'm always saying that. And you might find that when you do that, that you, along with the raspberry, that you start to get hints of maybe another fruit as well coming through.
Just on the tip is a bit of strawberry-ness going through there as well.
Yeah. It's quite light, but it's there, isn't it? So that's quite often the sort of thing, I think, that goes down.
And again,
well,
as happened in a couple of your other wines, so you get that nice warming feeling as it goes down the throat as well. It's a delayed effect, which is very pleasant.
Well, I think, with mums, the classic Mother's Day treat is breakfast in bed, isn't it? And the children bringing it to them. But at the end of the day, no matter how charming the children, most mums I know are looking forward to an evening spot on their own when the kids are in bed. They can relax and unwind with a nice wine.
They want to sort of relax and, sit comfortably on the sofa, hope they haven't landed on a toy, and just drink that wine. Yeah.
So if you want to make sure that that's a good wine for the mother in question, then, you can get a very nice rosé, affordable, pop into Noel Young. Or you might want to upgrade and give them something a little bit more like a rosé champagne or maybe some other kind of champagne. And you know what I do with champagnes? I wait for supermarkets to have really good deals.
Ah.
Because every now and again, Tesco will do 25% off for if you buy six wines. But they've always got some kind of a deal on when it comes to champagne. Equally, well, you could just pop into your independent wine merchants and pick up some really good champagne, and it will likely be champagne you can't just find everywhere. But what I tend to do is keep an eye on the supermarkets, and right now, or rather recently, and it just finished unfortunately, Marks and Spencer had 25% off if you buy six wines. It was their turn to do it. They're the first people to do it since Christmas. And that's just finished, but it's going to open again for one night only on Thursday night.
I think you have a vested interest in perhaps mentioning that particular offer, and it sounds like a pretty good one too.
This Thursday night, yes. I mean, we're talking after the store closes, 6:30, but this Thursday night, suddenly, once again, it will be 25% off of a combination of six, because what they're doing, and they've decided to do this around the country, in fact, is do free wine tasting night. And so this is Marks & Spencer Wines with Marks & Spencer Food Nibbles, completely free, no obligation to
buy. So this is the Marks & Spencer's, just to be clear, on the Market Square. That's the main
right
one
in the
town.
Heart of the city, upstairs in that lovely cafe that they've got. It's free wine. Now, who is not going to be interested?
What's not to like?
Yeah, and no obligation to buy. They just would like some people to come along and taste the wines that they've got on offer, and with some of their food. But what they do need is they need people to email. Otherwise, they've got no idea how many people might be coming. So there's an email address that you need to grab a pen and write down if you would like to come. This is organised not by me. It's organised by Marks and Spencer, and I'm really pleased they're doing it. It's a terrific initiative. It's marks-and-spencer.com.
And that's and the word, just to be clear.
Yes, exactly. Right. It's marks-and-spencer.com. cambridge.selling@marks-and-spencer.com. If you email that address and say you'd like to come along so that they know who to expect, or rather how many to expect, then and then I don't think they're trying to capture your email address or anything or add you to some kind of mailing list. They really just need to know for how many chairs to put out.
Obviously, so it's always difficult to judge these things. I suspect it might get rather full if people don't email sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So this is next Thursday, this coming Thursday, next week.
It's this coming Thursday. It's next week, yes. And I'm really pleased to have been asked to do it and really excited about just opening some. We're thinking carefully about which bits of food to put it with.
Yes, all from the Marks and Spencer's fridge, presumably.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Which is quality, isn't it?
It's a pretty good deal all round, really, as well.
With food, yeah.
I feel I should mention Waitrose next time I'm doing the traffic news now, just for editorial balance. But no, that's pretty good. How long does this event go on for? An hour and a bit? Or
something like that, I would have thought. So it's 6.30 until maybe 8 o'clock or something like that, yeah. And we'll get through seven wines. With bits of food.
Nice end of the day, and I guess to sample the whole wine tasting thing as well. That's a pretty good good chance to do that.
Yeah, and maybe then pick up, if you want, six bottles of wine and get 25% off what the price would have been, which I think is a great deal when
absolutely,
that happens.
Pretty good.
Stock up.
Okay, you've got some other bits and pieces to tell us about?
What else? I'm starting my next 8-week course on the 13th of March. On Wednesday evenings at the Cambridge Brew House, and that's been very popular. So if you want,
it's very nice in there, isn't it? It's a sort of a relative, revamped.
I think they're doing a terrific job. They've gone and put a retro feel inside in the restaurant, and it needed something because the building itself is not tremendously attractive from the outside. But they've put a whole lot of lovely greenery on the outside to try to break that up. And I think there's been a history of businesses there who've just not managed to make that work. And I think they show every sign of being.
Yeah, I quite like the American style sort of cubicle is the wrong word, but the sort of almost diner style seating. I think they've got in this part of the eating area, and a good selection of beers as well to go along with the wines.
Yeah. And it's an interesting wine list. They've got it's only about 8 or 9. Maybe only 10 different wines on there, so they've been quite selective, but they've gone and chosen, I might be wrong, there may be a few more than that, but it's not a lot. When you look at it, you expect a longer list, but they've gone and chosen an interesting variety of stuff. So, yeah, I do like what the Cambridge Brewhouse are doing.
It is 105 Drive through until 6. My guest, Mark Anstead from the Cambridgeshire Wine School. And we're going to be talking a little bit now about, corkscrews.
We are. And also, but before we get to that, because before I came in, somebody asked you, could you ask me about something to do with Oxford and
Cambridge
Colleges?
Yes, this is my esteemed colleague, Mr. Berrow, who does 2 till 4 here on a Friday afternoon. And he was rather intrigued. He'd heard that there was a different way of pouring wine at Oxford as opposed to Cambridge. And there's a lot of things. Obviously, the Cambridge way is the best way, but how do they do it in Oxford? Do you know?
There's no difference. I have to unfortunately say that, as far as I can tell, of course, and I'm not an expert, but I have left no stone unturned in trying to answer this question on the way in. I asked various wine merchants, and being in Cambridge, they ought to know. And then finally, the definitive answer came from Lindsay Spellman of Cambridge Wine Merchants, who has spent her... she's been in wine service in times in her life, and she knows people in the colleges very well, and she even called someone at one of the colleges who is a wine buyer and asked them. And the truth of the matter is, this is an old wives' tale. There is no, because pouring wine, I think the idea was supposed to be that one side, either Oxford or Cambridge, does the twist that you sometimes get in fine.
Yes, and Chris was also suggesting, one was to the left, the other one was to the right.
And the twist is, the whole idea is that it's trying not to have spills. And the truth is, it will vary from person to person, because some people are so accomplished, of course. Somebody like Lindsay Spellman, of course, she told me on the phone she doesn't need to twist. there's no danger of spillage anyway. And
whereas if I'm pouring wine, it's guaranteed to spill every time. We should do that another time, incidentally, the pouring of wine.
Okay, all right. So that's put paid to that. But corkscrews, quite interesting, because what you've got here is something that you reckon could be at least 40 years old, is that
I
right?
I think it's 40 years possibly old. I should explain the story of this one. It is a fairly traditional-looking corkscrew, which belonged to my grandmother. My grandmother and her family ran a pub called the Lion and Lamb just outside of Colchester. The building is still there. And everything in the house largely seemed to relate back to the pub sooner or later. I remember that from my childhood, so we're talking very early 1970s there. So at the very least, it's early 1970s, but I think it's a lot older than that. I'm not claiming it to be an antique, I'm just claiming it's a very good corkscrew compared to the kind of things that you get in the Christmas gift and you think, oh, that's a really clever way of doing a corkscrew, and they break, they don't work. Whereas that, you put it in, you twist, you pull it out, you've got your wine.
Yes, and this looks like, you know those types of corkscrews that have arms that go up and down?
Yes.
Windmill
arms. I've tried those. They don't. Well, they sort of work, but they break.
It looks like this, except without the arms. So it's got a mechanism that works against the bottle, and as you twist the screw bit, it pulls the cork up into the centre of that cage, working against the bottle. So it literally drags the cork up. And you've also brought another one in that is what even looks even slightly more traditional, although it's
younger. This is like
is the type that you screw in and you have to pull yourself. It doesn't work against the edges of the bottle.
The nice thing about that is that particular one is you can actually use it as a bit of a wine stopper. Although again, as with things, it doesn't always fit, which is
a bit of an issue. Little,
it's got a little rubber thing which is going on there.
Depends on the size of the opening.
Again,
the
that's put that on our list of future programs.
Well, a lot of people have trouble with this device. This is the type of corkscrew that opens up and it's got a bottle opener on one end. You pull open the actual helix cork that rotates.
So it starts off a bit of a Swiss Army knife feel about that one as well.
Yeah, and that's a standard sort of waiter's cork opener. And you use the knife to take the top of the foil off. If you've got a beer bottle, you can use the bottle opener for that part. But when you've screwed it into the bottle, the cork, you then push the arm down and you leverage against the bottle with that.
So there's a bit of extra weight going on, is it?
Where people go wrong with this is they screw down and they don't realise it. The whole reason for these little indentations here on this arm is for you to put it against the side of the bottle and pull like that. So you just raise your hand and that pulls the cork out a little bit. And then if you lever it down, you can then push that in against the side of the bottle, the very end of it, and pull up again. And it's very difficult to explain. Of course, you need to be able to show people. But the problem people have with the waiter's type is they don't push the edge onto the edge of the bottle and get a little bit of purchase against it like that. So that's why that goes wrong. But of course, the biggest problem is if you're dealing with an old bottle of wine and the cork is soft. And it's so easy
now, this
to
happened,
break
Now,
that.
This happened to me the other day. And the bottle of wine wasn't that old. It was probably, I think, remembering the date, about 3 or 4 years. So not exactly a particularly heavy vintage by any description. But, of course, I did the thing with the corkscrew. And the next thing I know is the majority of the corkscrew was in the wine.
Yes.
And also in
of
little
the cork,
bit,
you mean,
in little,
yes.
The cork.
And I have to say,
in little bits as well, to make it worse.
It's a bigger hazard with this old-fashioned corkscrew that you brought in, because can you see that the type of screw there is kind of like a screw. It's got a kind of twirly edge.
It's almost
a
bit like a drill bit, that
it's
one,
a drill, yeah.
Compared
but
to that was
this
a lot more
one,
spring-like and curly, isn't
this
it?
This helix has a hollow centre, and so that will go through the cork without actually pushing the centre of it out, and it won't rip the heart out of the cork. It will pull more likely to get the cork out than to break the cork halfway through with one of these.
So with all due respect to my late grandmother, this type of one here, is that the kind of one that you would suggest if people need to get themselves a new corkscrew?
It's the one I favour, but you have to see somebody do it if you don't know how to use them before you get confident with it. And in fact, somebody suggested there's a new wine retailer coming onto the Cambridge scene called Region's Finest.
Right.
Online retailer, but they specialise in selling top quality wines. There's not much under £20 on their website, with also top quality pieces of food from around Europe. And it's all about where is this sourced from, the provenance of this wine and the provenance of this food. And he wants to start selling £200 bottle openers that are...
Dear, don't buy a bottle opener which costs more than the wine, surely, yeah. Although I guess, well, you can come up with some of that as well.
He's not saying everyone should have them, but there's this beautifully engineered professional wine opener called Code 38, and I watched a video on how it's being made, and it's just beautifully engineered. This is the, you know, top quality car. This is your Aston Martin of wine openers, and so if you want to Google Region's Finest and go and search those out. They're not on the website yet, but he's hoping to have them on the website in time for Eat Cambridge.
Yes, which we've got a couple of minutes to talk about that. So, and you're going to be participating. I think this is the Saturday event at the Guildhall, isn't it?
Yep, on the 9th in the Guildhall, and I'll be there, but so many other people who are very, very interesting will be there. Lots of Cambridge's independent wine merchants will be there, and beautiful wine food producers will also be there. I'll have a little stall where I'll be offering people the chance to taste wine for free and win 2 free places at any of my wine tastings if they can guess correctly what grape variety it is and what country it's come from.
Dear, that sounds as bad as That's My Dog, really, for something to guess.
But different to That's My Dog, I'll actually give them options. It'll be a multiple choice slip.
Oh, that's better.
Is this Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc or Riesling, for example? Is it from France, Chile or Australia? And so you get a little bit of help as well.
Yeah, that sounds entirely reasonable.
Offer a bit of help. And we'll put the answers into a draw, and then we'll draw from the correct answers, and you can win 2 free places at a wine tasting. But whatever happens, you can taste some free wine, and there'll be other places in Eat Cambridge you can taste free wine as well.
We've actually got, I think it's Caroline from Eat Cambridge, who's been speaking to Alan Alder, and that you should be able to hear on Tuesday night, I think, if my failing memory serves me right. I think we're kind of out of time, Mark, unfortunately.
That's fine. Yeah,
but thanks as always for coming in. If you missed any of that, we'll put a podcast on the website in a couple of days, let you know the details on the wines that Mark was talking about at the beginning for Mother's Day.